Certainly, God has blessed us with yet another opportunity this side of eternity to assemble together in a fashion like this and be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm thankful for that. It's good to see such a good number out this morning. As it was stated earlier, we have guests among us, visitors. We're thankful that you're here, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity that you have. I'm going to strive to do nothing this morning other than to preach the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. To not go beyond what the Word of God says and not to fall short of it. If you find that I have, then you don't hesitate to point those things out to me. If I'm wrong about that, I'll be honest about it. I'll make correction of it, repent of it, never preach it again. That heaven will be my eternal home. And so I invite you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me. You need them to make sure that what I'm saying is in harmony with the Word of God. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, the Bible talks about God's people going to the promised land, and the great servant of God, Moses, has led them out of Egyptian bondage. They are on their way to the promised land, and over and over and over, God warns His people, "You keep my commandments. Don't depart from my commandments. Do what I tell you to do. Drive these nations out. I'm going to give your enemies into your hands. You're going to defeat them. You're going to drive them out of the land. But here's what I want you to do, and here's what I don't want you to do." And so all through the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy and Numbers, Leviticus, and so forth, He is telling His people what to do, the things that they are to engage in, the things that they are not to engage in. And you know, God today, by His Word, tells His people what He expects of us, doesn't He? He tells us what to engage in and what to abstain from and how to be pleasing in His sight. But He tells him, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 1 through 10, if you fail to do the things that I say, and this is not the only place that He tells His people, I'm going to remove you from the land that I've given to you. God had told them, this is your land, but it was always on the stipulation that they were to be faithful to Him. In process of time, guess what happened? You know what happened. They rebelled against God. They had taken to them strange wives and allowed those individuals to turn their hearts from serving God, and they began to be involved in idolatrous and other ungodly practices. And as a result of that, God removed them from the land that He had given them. When you think about places like Lamentations, how there the writer Jeremiah is lamenting the condition of Jerusalem and the fact that Judah is now taken into captivity because of their sin. But yet there's an interesting statement that's found in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. When he says, "For the Lord is merciful," talks about the mercies of God. We are not consumed. We are left because of the mercies of God, because His compassions fail not, he says. And then four words after that. Great is thy faithfulness. We just had read in our presence. Deuteronomy 7 again, verses 1 through 10. And he talks about faithful is God. We sing about the faithfulness of God. It's actually on page 23 or hymn 23 in this particular hymnal. We sing about the faithfulness of God. We acknowledge the faithfulness of God. We read about the faithfulness of God. And it's that I want to talk about this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And there's a lot of ways in which we can think about the faithfulness of God. A lot of ways throughout the inspired text that we read about the fact that God is faithful. Over and over and over, the Bible talks about and extols the faithfulness of the God of heaven. That impresses me. There's a lot of things that I'm impressed with in the Bible. And one of those things is the fact that we can have a relationship with the very being, the God that created us. You read about that beginning in the first book of the Bible, Genesis, all the way through. The fact that God wants to have a relationship with His people, but there's stipulations involved in that. And so for just a little while this morning, let's give our attention to some ways in which God is faithful. And the first one that I want us to think about is, again, as we think about Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 through 10, is that of hearing prayers. You know how many times the Bible talks about the fact that God will hear His children? Have you ever thought about that? And we pray to God and we've heard good worded prayers this morning. We pray to God when we come together in a fashion like this, and we ought to continue to do that, Philippians 4, and verses 16 to 17, or verse 6 rather, that we are to pray and let our supplication be made known with thanksgiving unto God. So we understand the importance of that. But are we convinced that God is faithful in hearing those prayers? Or do we pray without expectation that God will listen? Do we pray without expectation that God will even hear us? I suggest to you, if you're convinced that God will not hear the prayers of His people, you need to read and study the Bible more. And get convinced about that. Because over and over and over, the divine record records the fact that God is faithful in hearing prayers. When you think about the passages like Psalm 143 and verse 1. Notice what he says. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. Now listen to it. In thy what? In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. Do you believe that God is faithful in hearing the prayers and the supplications of His people? In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 12 in the New Testament of your Bible. Notice what is recorded there. 1 Peter 3 and then verse 12, a passage that no doubt you're familiar with. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We need to be convinced of the faithfulness of our great God and hearing the prayers of His children. I think about the dedication of the temple that we read about in 1 Kings chapter 8. Over 140,000 animal sacrifices was offered on that occasion. Could you imagine that? But as you read the prayer that Solomon rendered unto God, over and over and over, he says, Hear thou in heaven. Hear, hear, hear. Was he convinced that God would hear? He talks about when individuals have done wrong and then they holy in their heart turn unto you and they turn toward this holy place and they pray, Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place. Think about that over and over and over throughout 1 Kings chapter 8. That helps to give us some context when we read Daniel chapter 6. And when there was that conspiracy against Daniel, they said, we're not going to find anything wrong with Daniel or against Daniel except it be concerning his God. And the Bible says that his windows were open and he prayed toward Jerusalem. Way back, years before, Solomon prayed, if they pray unto you toward this place, hear thou in heaven. They were convinced that God would hear. Hear in thy righteousness. Hear thou my prayer in thy faithfulness. Stipulation. The eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous and His ears or eyes are over His children. But folks, if our sins have separated us from God, and that's what sin does, we need not expect that God will hear our prayer. We need to think about that. It's not a fact that God cannot, but it's a fact that God will not when we are in our sin. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 talks about that. John 9:31. Now we know that God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of Him and doeth His will, him he heareth. Do we obey Him? If we're not obeying, then we have no right to expect that God will hear our prayer. In fact, in Proverbs 28:9, if a man will turn away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination toward God. We need to think about that. And make sure that when there is sin in our lives, that we get that out. Or maybe there are those here this morning who've never entered obedience to the gospel of Christ. You need to do that and take care of that this morning. That God will hear your prayers, and we know that He is faithful in doing that. But there's another area in which we can understand, and we need to be convinced and have the conviction and believe in God when He says that He is faithful when it comes to His promises. I've said from this pulpit and others, when God says He'll do a particular thing, you can write it down, take it to the bank and cash it. He'll do it each and every time. Do you believe that? Do you? He's got a good track record, by the way. We've been reading it. Do we read it and say, let's see if God will keep His promises? You know, when you read this book, you'll soon come to understand when God says it, He will do it. Great is thy faithfulness. And so when God promises things to His people, when God says a thing, we need to understand that. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession. Some of the versions may say confession. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Listen, for He is faithful. That promise, that's what we're talking about. Faithfulness in promises. Do we believe that God is faithful to do what He has said that He will do? In Hebrews 11, in verse 11, you know what the Bible says concerning Sarah? Who perhaps thought it was an impossibility. I'm so old, how can I have a child? And me and Abraham are so old. But listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? What do you think that happened? What do you think her idea was, her mentality toward God? Notice the next part. Because she judged Him faithful who had promised. We need to understand and be convinced that God is faithful in keeping His promises. I love that passage in Joshua 24:14, where there the Bible talks about there hath not failed, not one thing, not aught of the things which God had promised, all that's come to pass. You think God failed Him in any way? You think God promised a particular thing or said, this is what I will do for you, and then He failed to do it? Do you think that it was when He said, I will remove you from this land, I will scatter you out throughout the earth, I will destroy you from before my face, and then He said, after 70 years I'll bring you back? Was He faithful in that? Sure He was. That's what the books of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther are all about. Providence of God. The fact that God keeps His promises and allowed them to go back. And so God is faithful in His promises. Number three, I want us to understand that God is faithful when it comes to the temptations that may come upon us. Well, preacher, what do you mean by the fact that God is faithful when you think about temptations? Well, He is. The Bible teaches us in James chapter 1, I invite you to open your Bible and turn to these passages and you read them as I read them. Get your eyes on the text. Notice what He says. James chapter 1, verse 12 beginning. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That's not always easy. It's not always easy to overcome things that come upon us. Trials and tribulations and temptations and heartache. Sometimes it's easy to give in to those things. But He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Then I notice verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth He any man. God gets blamed for a whole lot of things that people ought not blame God for. Temptation comes upon us and we have a hard time and we just shake our fist at God and say, well, God, why did You do this to me? Why did You make me like this, Lord? We need to stop and read this passage. Read it again. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. It's not God's fault now. We can't blame Him. For God cannot be tempted, neither tempteth He any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And so when difficulties come upon us and we're tempted in particular ways, don't blame God. And don't give in. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Sometimes we think, well, I'm the only one that's ever had to go through this. Think about that verse next time you think, I'm the only one, poor on me. I'm the only one that's ever had to pack this particular hardship. There's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's what we're talking about. Who will not allow or suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, and will with the temptation make a way for you to escape, that you may be able to bear it. God is faithful, even when it comes to the temptations and difficulties in our life. Do we believe Him? Do you? Do I believe Him? Or do we say, my problem is bigger than God? There's no problem that we could ever be faced with that is greater than our God in heaven. He'll hear us and He'll be faithful to us. But number four, as we think about great is thy faithfulness, I think about fellowship. I've told you before that sometimes when individuals think about fellowship, they begin to smell pizza and coffee and donuts and a host of other things. That's not what we're talking about. The Bible does talk about fellowship. And God is faithful in that fellowship. When you open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, very first statement that He says in this verse, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful. When we think about fellowship, we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with His Son. We have fellowship one with another. You know where the Bible talks about that at? You know it's there, don't you? 1 John chapter 1, He talks about fellowship. Open your Bible and let's read that together as we think about that. Listen, when we do our part, we need to trust in the fact that Jehovah will do His part. Amen. Believe Him in that and know that. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. That's what we're talking about. Fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship, listen to Him, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now that doesn't mean that everybody has fellowship with God. God's made provision that individuals can have fellowship with Him. Jesus has made provision that man can have fellowship with Him. He's done what the Father expected Him to do and sent Him to do. John 19:30. Did it of His own will. Wasn't forced to the cross. He chose to go to the cross. The Holy Spirit's done His part in the salvation of man, and the fact that we can have fellowship with God as He has revealed this Word to men, who then penned it down, whereby when we read it, Ephesians 3 verses 3 through 5, we can understand what was revealed to Him. But in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, you see the stipulation in that? If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanseth us from all sin. What does it mean to walk in the light? I think about that passage in Psalm 119 verses 104 and 105. When the Bible says, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and what? A light unto my path. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we're walking according as His word directs us to walk in this life. We can have fellowship and will have fellowship with Him. John 14:23. If a man keep my saying, Our Father will come unto Him, and we will have our abode with Him. Folks, it's talking about fellowship. That's not a personal little indwelling in us. That's as we walk in the light, we can have a relationship and fellowship with Him. If we fail to do that, 2 John 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Right? We have God when we are in the doctrine of Christ. And so God is faithful concerning that. Here's another one. Forgiveness. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's very easy for us to say, I believe that God will forgive me. I believe when His Word says that if I obey Him, that heaven will be my home, that God will forgive me. But it's difficult sometimes to forgive ourselves. It's difficult sometimes to let loose of things and try to carry that with us. We don't need to do that. We need to forgive ourselves and understand that God will forgive us when we obey the gospel. We need to forgive ourselves of those things that we've repented of, turned loose of them, and go to service for God. 1 John 1 and in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's penned to Christians. After you obey the gospel of Christ, you have the privilege of prayer that you can repent of your wrongdoing and ask God to forgive you of those things, like Simon was told to do in Acts the 8th chapter. God has promised that He'll forgive them their sins when they obey Him. Everything we've ever done in our past, no matter how big, how small, God will forgive us of those things. Do you believe that? If I began right here, all the way around the room, and asked you, do you believe that God will do that? What would you say? Forgive us of all of our past sins, Romans 3 and verse 25. Talks about that. Acts 2:47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Some versions say those that were being saved. The fact is that the Lord forgave them. They were added by the Lord to the body. The body is to save those who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Someone says sometimes, oh, you folks in the Church of Christ don't believe in the blood of Christ. That's a false accusation. We do believe in the blood of Christ. We understand without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. Hebrews 9:22, Jesus tasted death for every man, Hebrews 9:2, washed our sins away in His blood, Revelation 1:5, we understand that. We believe in the blood of Christ. And that when we obey the gospel of Christ, that God is faithful to forgive us of those things. And the last one in the sermon this morning, I've put these together. And that is sanctify, preserve, establish, and keep. So a host of verses that talk about those. We'll read at least a couple of them. 1 Thessalonians 5 and then verse 24. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. Well, what's He talking about? Well, you have to go back to the verse before that. When He says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verse 3 He says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. You know, over and over and over, as I stated some of these other things, we have the promise of God that He is faithful to us, will never leave us, never forsake us. Hebrews 13 and then verse 5. I suggest to you that these things are done so through the instrumentality of the Word of God. When you think about sanctification, you're talking about being cleansed, sanctified, set apart for a particular use. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, seeing you have purified It's about cleansing. Purifying your souls. And obeying the truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart. Our Lord said in John 15 verse 3, now ye are clean through the words that I have spoken unto you. In Romans 16 verse 25, as we think about the concept of being established. Romans 16 and in verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you. According to what? My gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. But now it's made manifest. Established in the faith, 2 Corinthians 1:21 and Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 7. God didn't promise that it was always going to be easy. We have difficulties that come upon us. Persecutions of various kinds that come upon us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Been persecuted lately? The Lord taught in this great Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, blessed are you when men shall persecute you, revile you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. What are we to do? Throw up our hands and quit and say, I'm over it. I'm finished. I'm done for. I'm tired of it. I quit. We're not about to do that, are we? Jesus said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Remember that passage we looked at in James chapter 1? That he was faithful who promised the crown of life. I think about the apostles who suffered so much. We read about Paul catalog that he went through in 1 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And when they were threatened, not long after the establishment of the Lord's church, and they began to preach, they were threatened, they were beaten. You think they threw their hands up in despair and said, we've had enough. The Bible says in Acts chapter 5, verses 41 and 42, that they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing. That they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. Daily from house to house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. That's the disposition of God's people that we need to be, that we need to have. That come on, may we're going to be faithful to God because faithfulness is God unto us. Great is thy faithfulness. We need to keep ourselves unspotted from the ways of the world. As we serve God. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 22 and James chapter 1 and verse 27, the last part of that. Keep himself unspotted from the world. I hope that this helps us to understand more and to appreciate about the faithfulness of God as we think about what these passages say. I want to close the lesson with a couple references from Psalm 36 and then verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. And in Psalm 40:10, he says, I'm going to declare it. I'm going to tell others about Thy great faithfulness. Maybe you're here this morning. You never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're on the outside of Christ and separated from God by your sins. Why not take care of that this morning? Someone may ask the question, well, preacher, how do I do that very thing? How do I have all my sins removed? This is what it takes to become a child of God. And folks, if the world stands for another 2, 3, 4, 5,000, 10,000 years from now, that will still be the same. The Lord stated, Matthew 24, 35, though heaven and earth pass away, my words shall never pass away. You become a child of God by hearing the gospel. So that faith cometh by hearing. And hear by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Do you believe? Repent of your sins. A change of heart that results in a change of action. Acts 17, 30. This ignorance once God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If we don't repent, we'll perish. The Lord stated that in Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God. He commanded it, Matthew 10:32-33. He said, if we deny Him, He'll deny us before His Father which is in heaven. We have an example of that in Acts 8:37 when the eunuch said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then you must be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. To rise to walk in newness of life, having been added to the church of Christ by the Lord. Acts 2:47. And like the eunuch of Acts 8, you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if today were the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, heaven will be your eternal home. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You turned your back on the Lord. Not living your life right as you should, and you know that you're not. Why not repent of those things? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. Folks, if you want to go to heaven, don't delay. Come right now.